Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Agency Toolkit. I'm your host, Julia McLaughlin. This episode is sponsored by ReviewRobin, which is a review management software created specifically for marketing agencies to help you guys get your clients more positive reviews. You can check that out at getreviewrobin.com. Now, our guest today is Adam McLaughlin, a fellow McLaughlin of Fresh Idea Websites. And today we are going to be discussing building the systems that bring in new clients to create that recurring revenue within your agency. Adam is the head honcho of Fresh Idea Websites and buildthatagency.com. And him and his wife travel full-time and mentor entrepreneurs who want to build an agency to create recurring income for themselves. So thanks so much for joining us today, Adam.
Thank you for having me, Julia. And I'm excited that we're not related, but your last name is McLaughlin and you even say it the proper way.
So, and it's spelled the same way as
that's well. Right.
I don't see
which
that too often.
Just a minor miracle.
So tell us, where in the world are you tuning in from today?
Well, right now I am in my hometown of Woodstock, Ontario. We're at my parents' house right now, getting ready to celebrate all the holidays and all that fun stuff. But typically we're on the road in our RV. About 6 months of the year we spend in the United States, 6 months of the year in Canada.
Awesome.
This 2022 is going to look a little bit different. We're spending a couple months in Mexico at the beginning of the year. So excited to see what that adventure looks like.
That's so cool. Well, I love that. You're a fellow Canadian and I am in Ontario as well, just outside of Toronto.
Oh, okay.
And how did you get started traveling and running your business? That's such a cool lifestyle.
Well, in 2011 is when we actually started our agency. And from there, we went and worked with a client in Florida in 2015, and we took a 3-year contract with them. And, you know, it was probably a point of weakness because in February, in the middle of a snowstorm, this client called and said, we'd like to bring you on full time. And I'm in Canada thinking I've retired early because I get to move to Florida. And
yeah.
So, you know, we went and that was interesting, an interesting process because we, you know, left all of our family here in Canada. I mean, you know, we took our kids with us, but we left our extended family here in Canada and kind of figured out what it was like to not, you know, live so close to our extended family, my parents and my wife's parents. And then we realized at the end of our 3-year contract, you know, we could go and sit in the house again, but we've kind of already done this thing where we've moved away from the family and there's a bunch of things we'd like to see. So maybe if we bought an RV, we could travel a little bit. And having a digital agency, you know, primarily web design, means I can work anywhere I have internet.
Yeah.
So in 2018, summer of 2018, we bought an RV and we hit the road.
That's so cool. And then it's you and your wife and your kids that travel in the RV.
Yeah, we have 3 boys.
And you have 3 boys. Okay. Wow. That is a really cool story.
Yeah, it's interesting some days. It's cool other days. So it depends which day you ask me. But our boys are 12, 10, and 7. And
okay.
So a really fun age for all of them. We have a 30-foot travel trailer. We get asked all the time, you know, do you have your own beds? And yes, we do.
Yeah.
We have our queen size bed at one end of the trailer and they have bunk beds at the other end of the trailer. And in the middle is our kitchen and our dining area. And so that's, yeah, we have space, but we spend most of our time not in the trailer if we can. We're going to parks, we're going to museums, we're going, you know, to ride roller coasters. We're going to find ways to not be in the trailer, but it is our tiny home.
Yeah, that's so awesome. I love that. And then, so what do you love most about running your agency?
Well, what I really love is, you know, recently we've started buildthatagency.com. buildthatagency.com. And it's so new, I almost messed up the domain name. But what we do is we are now at the point where we've been in our agency for 10 years. We've built recurring income. We've got the lifestyle to prove that that exists, because we can live anywhere and we can do anything we'd like as long as we have Wi-Fi. Mm-hmm. And so I get a lot of questions, or I have been getting a lot of questions in the last couple of years, with people saying like, how do I get to the point where I can do what you do? And so buildthatagency.com is all about helping entrepreneurs who want to start their own agency, or web designers who want to transition their agency from, you know, we build a website for a client, they pay us, and then we panic until we can find another client. How do we convert that to recurring income?
Right.
So it's all about how do we, you know, create those systems and structures for our clients. And that's really a big focus of our business, has been mentoring entrepreneurs who either want to convert their current web design agency or they want to start their own agency.
Yes. And that's going to be a big component of our chat today. So we're going to be, let's dive into our topic. So we're going to be talking about building the systems that bring in new clients to create that recurring revenue within your agency. So to start, tell us about your journey of acquiring those first few clients and what you found worked for you.
Oh, the first few clients are the easiest. It's the reason a lot of designers actually stumble into the business, right? Because they volunteer, you know, maybe they figure out how to use, you know, a Squarespace or a Wix or something like this to build a website for their church or for a not-for-profit organization or for a, you know, the theater, the local, you know, theater that their kids, you know, do plays at, or, you know, something like that. Usually it's somehow somebody I know needs a website, and they might not have the budget for it, and I'm a volunteer, and I've seen people click things on Squarespace, and it looks like it's pretty straightforward. And then, so that's usually how the first, you know, call it a client or don't call it a client, I don't know, usually how your first website shows up.
Yeah.
And then after that, somebody who you volunteer with or somebody else on the board says, hey, can you do that again, but like for this organization over here? Or, you know, I've got a small business, can you build me something for that small business? It was kind of nice what you did for the, you know, for your church. Mm-hmm. And then usually, so that's client number two, that one actually might pay something. And really you're just, I don't know what to charge. So you charge a couple bucks and away you go. And then they send you a referral, and that's client three. And that's when you realize, okay, if I'm going to put this much effort into this thing, I'm going to have to charge what it's really worth to get to that point. And so those first few clients usually like show up, and all of a sudden somebody goes, hey, I can make a fair amount of money designing this website. I'm going to, you know, go to part-time hours at my job, or I'm going to like quit my job altogether. Or in my case, I really didn't like the job I was in, so I just left. know, and then at that point in time, you're like, oh man, I'm making money. And then all of a sudden you're at like client four or client five, you're trying to find client four, client five. It's like, okay, now this is panic mode, because I just went from these things were just showing up for me to all of a sudden I have to go find clients.
Yes. So that's what I'd love to pick your brain about, are these systems that are important to put in place to acquire those next clients.
Sure.
So can you speak to the importance of asking for referrals?
Yes. So when a client is happy with your work, you need to ask them to pass your name on. And there are a few different ways to do this, but rather than, you know, you build a website for Susan's business and Susan really likes the website and all of her customers really like the website. Well, the best thing you could do is get Susan to tell somebody else that, you know, Adam designed my website. I really love my website. It works. Customers come in all the time and compliment me on my website. That gives you way more credibility with the next person than if you show up at the next person's business and said, hey, I build websites, can I help? All right. Because
absolutely,
Susan is your credibility. You know, this person that Susan is telling, maybe they've known Susan for a long time. They've been to networking events at the Chamber of Commerce with Susan. You know, they're friends with Susan. Their kids play soccer together. They know Susan wouldn't steer me the wrong direction. Mm-hmm. And if Susan's business is doing well because of this new website, so you've got all this credibility by asking Susan to refer you to the next person. And so referrals are like the best way to get new business, because you're working on somebody else's credibility, right? Like Adam's credibility almost doesn't matter in that situation. It's whoever Susan recommends. And it happens to be Adam, you know, I'm using my name because whatever. But, you know, rather than you showing up and cold calling somebody or meeting somebody at a network event and trying to talk them into working with you, mm-hmm. if you get introduced to them by somebody who knows what they're doing or has experienced your work, that's a shoo-in.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Yeah, making that cold call, it can be tough. I mean, it's definitely effective. It's a numbers game. But yes, once you've got that referral, it's night and day when you're speaking to the person about potentially working with them.
Yeah, absolutely.
So next up, can you tell us why the designed buy link is so important to add to your clients' websites?
Yes, absolutely.
I love that you mentioned this.
This is such a missed opportunity. It's because a lot of designers think like, well, I shouldn't put my stamp on there. You know, it kind of feels self-serving. I'm sorry. Have you ever driven through Starbucks? Like their napkins have their logo on it. If you take their napkin, you wipe your mouth and you throw it in the garbage and somebody drives by the garbage next, they're going to see the Starbucks logo. Okay. They know you shop at the Starbucks. You're holding a Starbucks logo in your hand while you drink the coffee and you go to your business meeting or you go to your soccer game or whatever it is. Okay. Yeah. Let's not be ashamed of letting our clients, you know, putting our stuff on our clients' information. Now, the other benefit to that is somebody sees a website they really like and they're in the market for a website themselves. Well, what are they going to do? They're going to scroll to the bottom and see who's this designed by. And if you haven't put your link there, you've missed the opportunity for that referral. And again, in the same idea as referral, the same concept as referral, if they like the work they're seeing on that website, they click the designed by link, you're now working off the credibility that they already said, I like this person's work enough to click their link. So, you know, we've been doing this for 10 years and we mentor all kinds of people who, you know, are also doing their own design agency. So far, I've had one person who's asked me to remove the design by link because it was a very large organization and they wanted it to look like their designer was in-house when actually they contracted out to me. And that's totally cool.
Same. Like I was designing websites for 8-9 years. I didn't have any client ever say anything about it. So yeah, it's generally accepted.
Yep. And people expect that it's going to be there, to be honest. And if they ask you to take it down, it's like, you know, 30 seconds worth of effort to do that. But most people won't. So put the design by link and please don't leave the default design by WordPress, powered by WordPress. Come on, please put your name in there. Please put in some effort.
Yes, definitely.
Get a referral that way. And also, you know, if you want to dig into SEO, the backlink is helpful. And the more people, the more sites that have that link pointing to your site is helpful with SEO to some extent. To what extent, nobody really knows. But
absolutely. And it makes so much sense to be converting your clients' websites into a lead generation source. You know, you've done the work. It's beneficial to other business owners out there. So yes, don't miss out on that opportunity.
Absolutely.
So next, can you talk about how partnering with designers who may not be in business anymore can benefit your design business?
Yes. Heck yes. In a big way.
This is clever. I like this.
This is exciting. This is actually how we got into white labeling with our agency, is we met a designer in a specific industry and they had 100 sites in their portfolio and a big banner on their website that says, sorry, we're no longer taking clients. Hear that, Canadian? I even caught myself on the sorry, okay? For American listeners, the Canadians didn't even notice I went with sorry, but I did, okay? So anyway, they had a big banner said, sorry, we're not taking clients any longer. And so I contacted them and I said, listen, you're showing up on just about every keyword for your industry. And how often are you getting quote requests that you have to turn away? And they said, well, probably 2 or 3 times a month, people ignore the banner and still send us a quote request anyway. We just ignore it. And I said, well, what is going on? Why are you ignoring potential business? And they said, well, we started a YouTube channel. YouTube channel had 150,000 subscribers. We would much rather put effort into building new YouTube videos that provide us an income and we don't have to deal with clients than building new websites for clients. And I said, well, listen, I've got this business thing going on over here and I build recurring income. And I explained the entire model of how we treat websites like a service and how we build recurring income every month for. And so I said, listen, we've got a couple options here. And he was really into sales. He liked the sales part of it.
Yeah.
So now we've got an agreement going where a client requests a quote. He'll call them. He'll make the sale. He'll get the agreement. And then they go into our process where we white label their entire process for them. And we deliver to the client.
That's so smart.
Yeah. And so, you know, we took this business and maybe it's somebody who's ready to retire. Maybe it's somebody who, you know, had five clients and decided that wasn't enough and had to go get, you know, quote unquote, real job. We don't know, but whatever that thing is, those people are generating leads that they're basically walking away from. So we jumped in and we said, hey, we'll help white label your service for you. Now, you know, if you're not into white labeling, that's totally cool. Maybe you set up a referral process where that person says, hey, you know, maybe it's an automated email on the responder. Hey, we got your quote request. We now work with X agency. They'll be in contact with you shortly to help you get a quote for your website. You know, that could be as simple as an automated email that goes out both to them and to you to let you know a new quote request came in and you give them some kind of kickback.
Yeah, I love that. So smart. Such a great idea. Now, I know you've sponsored a Facebook group before. So can you talk about how that worked and how that benefited your business?
Yeah. So once you have your, I'm a big proponent of designing for a specific industry, for a specific niche, for a specific target audience.
Yeah.
And the reason is you get to speak their language. You get to know the ins and outs. You get to know, like, for instance, the year between high school and college, I worked at a restaurant to save up money to go to college. And we would have people who would come in with their resume at like 12:30. And the manager would take the resume and almost in front of them, put it in the garbage. Because if you walk into a restaurant at 12:30, hoping to have a meeting with the manager, you don't understand the restaurant business.
No.
That is peak lunchtime.
Yeah.
Okay. So now if you design websites for restaurants, then maybe you are scheduling you want to cold call them. You want to connect with them. You're going to offer them a meeting at 9 a.m. If they're a lunch restaurant, if they're a breakfast restaurant, definitely not 9 a.m. Or you're going to do like a 2 p.m. or a 3 p.m. or you're going to do like a 9 p.m.
Right.
You start to understand kind of the rhythms of the industry, the words they use, the challenges they have, the suppliers they're working with. And
definitely.
So I'm a big proponent of focusing on a target audience and a niche. And now that I've blabbed, I've forgotten your original question, but I know it was going somewhere with that. Tell me again.
Yeah. So I know you sponsored a Facebook group before. So yeah, I just wanted to find out what your experience with that and how it benefited your business.
Of course. So Facebook groups typically are built around a specific niche, right? You might have restaurant owners in Atlanta, Facebook group. Okay.
Right.
Well, that would be a really great Facebook group for you to sponsor some time in and say like, hey, let's do a live video. Let me sponsor the group. Let me get my face in front of everybody. Let me tell them what I do. Let me show them a few sites that I've already built for restaurant owners in Atlanta, or it could be realtors in Toronto, or it could be, you know, even more specific than that. It could be, you know, condo realtors in East Mississauga, right? Like you could get really specific with how that works out. And the cool thing is with Facebook groups, they've kind of already built those really specific target audiences.
Totally.
And so now you connect with somebody who has a Facebook group and jump in with them and say, hey, I'd really like to get in front. Either I can sponsor a post or we can create a referral link so that you get a kickback if somebody becomes a client. But that niche is already put together. You're just getting in front of those people by connecting with that Facebook group.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, I love that idea. Makes a lot of sense. So next, I would love to talk about having an email opt-in strategy. Can you tell us how having an email opt-in strategy can benefit your agency?
So if you have a website, which you should for your website design agency, I'm sorry, I'm going to take that sentence back. Since you have a website, the challenge of the website is it is a passive It's passive. You have to wait for somebody to come to you. Mm-hmm. Social media in inverse is more active, right? I could post something on my social media post on Facebook, and I could pay some money, boost the post, or even if I don't, people who've already liked my page will see it, right? Mm-hmm. So they're scrolling through and they're seeing, you know, my cousin got engaged and my nephew has a new dog, and Build That Agency is offering a sale or something like that, right? Fresh Idea Websites is offering a custom design package.
Right.
And so it shows up, and that's more passive because they were scrolling anyway, not looking for your agency, and your agency shows up. But the challenge is with social media content, you might get 3 to 5% exposure on your page, which meaning if you had 1,000 likes on your page, maybe 30 to 50 people would see any given post you're going to post.
Right.
Now, once you use your website to build an email list, email open rates, so you send out a marketing email to everybody on your list, mm-hmm. email open rates are about 20 to 30%, depending on how well you are at crafting your subject line and all those types of things, right? 20 to 30%. So if you gave me the option of 1,000 people on a Facebook page, or 1,000 people on an email list, I'll take the 1,000 people on the email list in a heartbeat, because I can get in front of 20 to 30% of them by sending an email compared to 2 to 3% of them by posting on my Facebook page.
Right.
So you create value on your website and you get people to trade you for an email address. And the ridiculous thing is almost everybody initially when they hear this goes, oh, I hate those pop-ups. I never sign into those. Now, that could be true, but if I was given permission to check your inbox for 24 hours, I would see all kinds of newsletters. I promise.
100%.
You signed up to them somehow, right? Yeah. I'm not counting spam. I'm saying the AppSumos of the world, right?
Yeah, everyone does.
Right. And about 2% of your website traffic will sign up to an opt-in option. So if you give them an ebook, if you give them a coupon, if you give them a free something, about 2% of your traffic signs up to that. So in the background, as people visit your site, 2% of that traffic is signing up to your email newsletter. As that grows, that is the best active way to get in front of somebody. Nobody I know wakes up in the morning, rolls over, grabs their phone and says, you know what, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to check Adam's website to see what's new today. Like 0% of the people in the world, including my mom, and she's my biggest fan. But what do? You flip open social media, you check your email, you might check your text messages, check your Facebook Messenger. So if you can get in those places, the most effective of those places to be is your email. And so if you have a lull in business, now it's really easy to create an email. And I would recommend a regular email, you know, that could be once a month or once every 2 weeks or once a week.
Yep.
But you could easily throw in an email that says, hey, we've got an opening in our schedule and we're looking for new clients. First person to click this button gets 10% off or an extra something or other, or we'll build their email opt-in for free with the full price purchase of a redesign, or however you word it. I'm sure much more creative than what I'm coming up with at the moment.
No, that's great. I think it's really smart. You know, you're playing a little bit more of the long game, but you're just building that relationship. And over time, you'll just nurture that relationship and hopefully build another client. So
of course.
Yeah, those are all really great points that you've outlined for us. Now, how do you convert a per project client into a monthly retainer?
This is like one of my secrets.
Yeah.
I'm just going to give away all my secrets. That's fine. Whoever listens to the podcast, don't bother with my online training. Just listen to this podcast. You get all my secrets.
No. You're giving away all the
online
secrets.
Training obviously digs into the how-to. We've got all the copy and paste for the emails and phone scripts and all that fun stuff.
But, and we're definitely going to put a link to your course as well.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yes.
But what we have to do is we have to change the mindset that a website is a product and help people understand that website is a service. Mm-hmm. And so the challenge is that historically, and I say historically, like I'm going to age myself, but like, remember with like, you know, HTML coding and the flashy dog that runs across the screen with an envelope in his mouth for click here for email and gross stuff. But that was code, right? You built the code, you put the code on the server and it sat there and nothing changed until it got hacked. Well, websites now are built with software. And so just, you can talk to your clients about, you know, just like your phone will run an update on Tuesday and then another update on Thursday and then an emergency update on Friday because they made a mistake with the last update.
Yeah.
Same thing happens with your website software. You know, constantly people are trying to hack in and constantly we're trying to make sure that they don't. And constantly there's a new device, right? Samsung comes out with a new phone. LG comes out with a new phone. BlackBerry gets back in business. I don't know what goes on, but there's different screen sizes. Apple releases the new Maxi Mini Pad Plus or something. Who knows what else, right? Yeah. It's a bigger but smaller iPad in a square shape. I don't know.
Exactly. But your it's hard to keep up. It's changing so fast.
Terrible. But your website now has to adjust to that new format, and that's part of what happens with your website software.
Right.
And so helping clients understand it's not a pile of code that sits on a server that looks exactly the same day to day. It's now a piece of software. And I use the phone example because clients really, I mean, most people have a phone and they get frustrated how often they have to do the updates. And so we say, okay, we'll take that off your hands, but that's exactly what's necessary for your website to keep it secure and to keep it functioning and to keep it adjusting to all these changing screen sizes. So there's kind of two avenues here. And one is how do we talk to a new client about website as a service versus how do we take a client who paid for their website and then later try and convert that to a monthly service fee. And that is a much bigger challenge than being clear with the client up front. So, you know, I had a client quote this week and I said, it's going to look a little bit different maybe than what you're anticipating. There's going to be an investment into redesigning your website. And that's all the things we've talked about on your quote call so far. But the other thing is you're going to notice that there is a monthly investment that you'll be making. And that's for our team to make sure your website is kept up to date all the time. Use the phone analogy, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But in our case, it includes hosting on a secured server. It includes backups to a secondary server. So if the primary server goes down, the secondary server kicks in.
Yep.
If the primary server is compromised, the secondary server has a clean backup of your website. It includes 60 minutes of design time every month. It includes my cell phone number. So you're not calling an 800 number somewhere. If there's a tech issue, you just call me directly. It includes direct access to email. It includes marketing input. So if you say, hey, we're thinking about A or we're thinking about B, you simply send me an email. And then we can either have a Zoom call to chat about it. I can weigh in right there if I've had some experience with it. Mm-hmm. All of those things are tied into us continuing to service your website every month. And so, you know, in that case, it's really easy. It's much easier to help the client understand the value of that up front than to try and convert them later. And we've done the thing where we try and help an agency convert their clients later. And we've got about a 60% success rate with that, which means, you know, if they had, you know, 50 clients, then quick math, about 30 of them will convert to a monthly service plan and 20 of them will say, no, I'm good with what I got. Now, the reality is if you go from an agency and you have all of a sudden you have 30 recurring monthly income invoices coming in, that's a big difference all of a sudden. Go from I'm not touching it to I've got 30 clients who now pay me every single month. So, you know, we'd love to get that rate higher. And I'm sure we'll figure out ways to get that higher. But 60% isn't too shabby. And you've already got the client list. Let's figure out how to help them have a website that gets serviced every month.
Yeah. Well, that's such great points. Yeah. Thanks so much for sharing that. And then, so we're getting ready to wrap up here shortly, but first I'd really love to know, where do you see buildthatagency.com in 5 years' time?
Well, I'm really building systems and structures so that Build That Agency starts to run itself, right? Bringing on designers, bringing on management team, and bringing on a sales team. And Build That Agency kind of serves two purposes, as we kind of talked about. It's for people who want to, who are entrepreneurs who see the value of a digital agency, no inventory, no recruiting, no location. I can work anywhere I have Wi-Fi.
Exactly.
And then we white label their services for them. So we're looking for people in a specific industry who understand the industry, who can sell the website, and then we'll white label the service for them. And then the other piece of the pie is people who are web designers and they want to do it all themselves, which is totally cool, but they want to understand the system of how to build that recurring income through web design. And so we're looking in the next 4 to 5 years to expand our team so that the agency sort of runs itself. I can be way more hands off, which will allow me to focus on building new courses, new products, new ideas to help those agencies grow faster.
That's awesome. I'm excited for you. Well, next we have the Fast Five, which are 5 rapid fire questions. So
bring it on.
All right. What's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
Oh, Duct Tape Marketing.
All right.
Really, really good. The other one might've been Building a Story Brand by Donald Miller. That was probably Building a Story Brand. Duct Tape Marketing is also the most recent book I read. So That's probably a fake answer.
Yeah.
Because, you know, aren't you always excited about the most recent thing?
Totally.
But I would say a big impact would be Building a Story Brand by Donald Miller.
Okay, perfect. And then what does your morning routine look like?
Usually sleep.
Not a huge morning person.
I have a love-hate relationship with this question because, you know, it's so often it's like, you get up at 5 a.m., you grind, you start by sweating, you do your yoga, you drink 7 gallons of water, and then you're ready to tackle. I make 16 cold calls in the morning, every single morning. It's like, I'm just sleeping, okay? Like, I set my alarm maybe 5 times a year, and they're for flights.
Yeah.
That's the only, if the flight's at 3 p.m., I better set an alarm because I just want to be sure I'm up.
I love the honesty.
I'm a night owl, so.
Yeah, it's true. I feel like the world is like, you have to be a morning person. Otherwise, yeah, but no, I'm a night owl as well. And yeah, I'm most productive late at night. And
100%.
Most people are not like that.
No.
And then, okay, so next question. Is there a CEO that you follow or study?
I really like, he's not a CEO, I guess. Seth Godin is a big person that I follow closely. I get a lot of inspiration from people like, you know, Elon Musk or, you know, Steve Jobs. I appreciate CEOs that don't just create a product, but create an experience around their product.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they're important to me, but I mean, I don't really follow them. I guess I'm way more focused on what I want to be building. And, you know, maybe that's the selfish answer. Maybe it'd be good if I followed closer.
No, I think it makes sense. And I think a lot of entrepreneurs, they, you know, take little bits and pieces from a whole bunch of different entrepreneurs as well. So,
yeah, I mean, I could tell you 20 brands that I would probably know better than their CEOs, you know,
True. Just
throwing that out there.
Yeah. Alrighty. And then, so what is your favorite online tool?
Oh, my favorite online tool. It's gotta be Coolors.co, COOLORS.co.
Okay.
And basically it's a color scheme generator and put in one or two, you know, colors that are from the client's logo. And then you just keep hitting spacebar and it comes up with a whole bunch of different color schemes that match those two colors.
That's so cool.
It's very cool. It's nothing fancy, but it's like the tool that saves me the most amount of time.
I'm sure there's more exciting color schemes. Take up a lot of time. So
it does take up a lot of time. And the other thing is it's so easy that if you have a really particular client, you can easily send them the link and they can come up with the color scheme and just send you the link back with the color scheme they want to end up with.
Which is the way to go most of the time.
You know, yeah, I use Trello. I love Trello. I use a lot of, you know, different online tools. I use Weather Widget. We use that to throw into our client websites when they're, you know, an outdoor industry and they want to show their clients what the weather's like. You know, there's a bunch of different things that I use, but I think Coolors.co is probably the most straightforward.
Cool. That's awesome. And then last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
Oh my goodness. You have to like quadruple your prices.
Yeah, such a good
like,
one.
Honestly, it was, I was giving away the world for like $20 a month when I first started out. Like, yeah. What?
And feeling I was ripping, bad about it.
I was ripping myself off, yeah. Right? Because I was busy and not making any money, yeah. Which is so frustrating because I didn't have time to go make more money, but I also, you know, wasn't making enough money. Oh my goodness. Yes, if there's one thing I could change up front, I would have definitely tried to create, you know, have more confidence and charge more.
Yeah, great advice. We've all been there. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Adam. It's been really great chatting with you.
Thanks for having me, Julia. It's been a lot of fun.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.